Amen. Open your Bibles up to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Now, this may not mean as much to you as it does to Tanner and myself this morning and Brother Terry, but the screen, the projector is working again, so amen to that. Amen. Every time a storm comes through, it seems to knock it out, but praise God, it's not dead. But even better than that, praise God, Jesus is not dead. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I believe one of the biggest problems we have in this world is that we don't study and pay attention to what the Word of God really says. A lot of times people just want the pastor to get up and say a few words so they can go home and feel a little bit better themselves and go home and forget about everything else that takes place. As long as the pastor gets up and does what he does, then I'm okay and I'm good to go. We want to listen to podcasts, or we want to have somebody else feed us, and we want somebody else to do something, when in reality, brothers and sisters, if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, it's your responsibility to grow in the Lord. And I can't think of a better way to start the new year, the new decade, than growing in the Lord. My desire as your pastor is this, and I was speaking to someone this week about it. My desire is that you would grow beyond where I am right now in my life walking with the Lord. My desire is that you will be closer to the Lord Jesus Christ than I am at this very moment. And he said, now wait a minute, Brother Brian, does that mean you want to stay behind? No, I want to go leaps and bounds beyond where I am right now. But I want you to walk with the Lord. We saw the disciples that were walking to Emmaus, and as they walked with the Lord, the Bible says that their hearts burned within them. In other words, they knew they wanted to be closer to God than they'd ever been before. They knew there was something going on. Brothers and sisters, either this is the living Word or it's a dead book. Either this is reality and the absolute truth, or there's nothing in it that's worth anything. Either this is completely, from the beginning to the end, completely God's Word, or it's not even worth starting a campfire with. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, Paul talks about this. Look at it if you would. It says, all Scripture, from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, it says, all Scripture. And they say, Brother Brian, what about the books that were discovered here and the books that were discovered there and this letter that was written here? Isn't that Scripture also? I believe that what we have in front of us that God has ordained for us to have and to know, just because it's not included in these 66 books doesn't mean we can't learn something from it. But my brothers and sisters, these 66 books we have in front of us are God-ordained. They are God-inspired. God breathed these words for us. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This has got to be God's Word. If this is not the truth, then there's got to be truth somewhere else. If this is not the truth, then where is truth? Everybody's trying and desperately seeking to find meaning in life, to find something to define how they're to live their life. Brothers and sisters, you can find anything you want, anywhere you want, but you've got to have a basis for how you live your life. Either you do what how you want to live it and you make your decisions and you become your own God, or there is a true and living God who has given us direction and guidance in life. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, Jehovah, the Creator, the one that has sustained us, the God of the universe. This is all inspired by Him. And then it says this. What's the reason for it? What's the reason for this word? It says that it is profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for us to know about Him. God didn't just write this word and play hide and seek with us. Peekaboo. peekaboo. That's not what God does. God doesn't sit out there somewhere in the desert or somewhere in the trees saying, all right, come find me. He says, no, I have manifested myself to you. I've revealed myself to you. I've given you right here. You can find me right here, he says. It's profitable. You say, well, Brother Brian, I struggle in not understanding what the Word of God is. I read it and it just makes no sense to me whatsoever. And it's gibberish to me, Brother Brian. I'm hurting and I don't know what to do. Let me help you out with something, okay? Now look at me, please. I'm going to say something to you right now that it may hurt your feelings, but I don't intend for it to. If you are not understanding what the Word of God's saying, then either, number one, you're trusting yourself or you're trusting God. See, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us the very moment we trust Jesus Christ our Savior. You are filled with the Holy Spirit right then and there. And when you read God's Word, it's Him that is writing it, and it's Him that has made it, and it's Him that interprets it for you. You say, Brother Brian, I struggle. I don't know what to do. Then here's what you do. Very easy and very simple. God, it's your Word. You have written it. Help me understand it. You say, well, Brother Brian, it's written at such a level, the these and the thous and this, and I don't understand it. Let me help you out with that too. This was really written at a fourth grade reading level. Fourth graders are supposed to be able to read this. I don't know. Some of those words in there are like, Here's an amazing fact. God gave us what's called a dictionary. How many of you know what a dictionary is? But you know what? And I don't know if God gave this to us or not, but man gave us Google. And if you come across a word that you don't understand, Google it. How do you know what I'm talking about? See, what happens though, we begin reading the Word of God and we get confused and the devil says, don't listen to it. Just put it down. It doesn't mean nothing. It's too hard for you to understand. You're too dumb to read the Bible. No. If the Holy Spirit's living inside of you, He's the one that helps you to understand it. Because look what it says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Now, we don't like that word. Reproof and correction. We don't like that one. You know what that is? When your little baby goes reaching for something hot, what do? Well, no, I don't. I let him go ahead and touch it. You're a fool. Oh, the Word of God, when you read it, the Word of God comes into your heart and tells us what's right and what's wrong. If you're reading the Word of God, the Holy Spirit living inside of you, He'll let you know what's right and what's wrong. I don't know this completely. I'm still growing in it. I'm still learning in it. But bless God, when I read it, the Holy Spirit convicts me. It tells me, hey, no. Sometimes it says, yes, that's what it's for. You want to know what to do and how to do it? It's right here. Look what else it does. It not only reproves and gives us correction, but look what it does. It instructs us. It instructs us. I've got a manual in my office for the how to fix a 1966 Ford Falcon. How many of you remember those? You old bunch of old people. A 1966 Ford Falcon. I've got the instruction booklet in my office, and it gives you all the details about the wiring and the motor and the transmission and everything. Now, if I had a 1966 Ford Falcon, and I did it one time when I was a teenager, If I had that thing and there was something wrong with my 1966 Ford Falcon, how much sense would it be for me to go and get a booklet on the 2002 BMW? Would that make any sense whatsoever? Why? Why wouldn't that make any sense? Come on, church, why would that make any sense? That's not the car. If I want to know how to fix a 1966 Ford Falcon, I get the book out and I read it. You want to know how to live for God? You want to know how to grow in Him daily? You want to know how to make decisions that come up in your life? Then read the book. Well, Brother Brian, that's pretty simplistic. The problem is, even Christians who've been saved for 50 years, y'all are still drinking milk. It's time to start eating some meat. We've got some Christian vegetarians in this very room right now. Means you're eating everything but the Word. You're feasting on what other people are saying, and you're not reading it for yourself. If you're not feasting on God's Word, you're drinking milk. Start drinking some milk. But if you've been drinking milk for all these years, stop. Start eating some meat. Let me show you the problem with that. Go to Corinthians real quick. 1 Corinthians real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Paul addressed this. And that's the problem we have nowadays, is because we're not eating the meat. We see that God gave us the Word. Now I want to show you something here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Now follow along with me. If you don't have your Bibles right in front of you, there's a Bible in the pew right there in front of you. I want to show you something here. Here's the problem. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And this applies to people all over the place. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 1, it says this. Paul says, "And I, brethren," speaking to believers, "I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." I couldn't give you spiritual food, but I'm giving you carnal food, even as babes in Christ. He says, I couldn't give you the real meat of the Word because you weren't ready for it. "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." Why? Why couldn't they handle spiritual things? "For you are yet carnal. Whereas there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" He says, listen, I tried to give you spiritual truth. I tried to tell you, but you couldn't handle it and you got upset with me. And you started doing all these wicked things because you were still a baby in Christ. Now in this very room, there's all levels of spirituality. There's some in this room that don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior. You may have been coming to church for years, but you've never truly trusted Christ as your Savior. You're playing the game. There's some who are Christians, but they're right here at this level, and you're drinking milk. That's all you can handle. You have no desire to grow past that. As long as Brother Brian gets you fed on Sunday morning, and Sunday morning's the only time you come, as long as you're there, you're okay with that. There's some who have progressed to a little bit stronger, and you're desiring to grow every day with the Lord. You're reading God's Word, and you're growing. Fantastic. And there's some of you who are handling big old thick pieces of meat. I mean, that juicy steak that when you bite into it, just... I want to be there. Amen? What level are you this morning? See, that's the question only you can answer. And Paul was telling the church in Corinth, he says, your guys' problem is that you're down here and you don't want to grow. Here's an amazing thing. When you start growing in God's Word, He starts opening your eyes up to things that you've never seen before. You read it and you say, wow, God loves me. I don't have to keep a bunch of rules for God to love me. He loves me. Wow, God is so gracious to me. God is so merciful. Look, when you start reading God's Word, man, it opens a bunch of things up to you that you never realized. Brothers and sisters, this decade, this year, ought to change your spiritual life like it's never been changed before. But may I tell you the truth? It's not up to me to get you where you ought to be. I get you for 35 minutes on a Sunday morning. You have to listen to me rant and rave for 30. That's all I get you for. Because this is the only time I see some of you. What are you doing to grow outside of this building? The growing doesn't take place here. The growing takes place out there. Amen. It's my responsibility to entice you, but it's your responsibility to do the growing. Let me show you the progression. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 2 now. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Find the book of James and go write one book. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Paul said, you bunch of carnal Christians, you have no desire to grow, and so I can't give you some deep stuff. But look what Peter's desire is here in 1 Peter chapter number 2. Verse number 2, here's what he says. He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. A baby Christian will live their life like this. Oh my, I'm so scared of God. He's going to hurt me. God hates me. I got to follow a bunch of rules and regulations. Otherwise, I can't make God happy. A person who's growing in the Lord realizes and understands that you get to live for God because you love Him because He first loved you. Look at me for a minute. God doesn't hate you. God's not against you. God's not sitting up in heaven waiting to hurt you because you do wrong. God says, hey, grow closer to me. I love you. And I have so much I want to give to you. Just grow in me and you'll learn from me. That's what God says. The problem is some people don't want to grow. When my little girl, beautiful daughter right here, I love her. When she was little, just newborn, first day of time I saw her, she was, 6 days old. She fit right here. She was 6 weeks preemie. Right here. And I held her, and we had to dress her in baby doll clothes. We couldn't find any clothes to fit her. She was so tiny. But boy, she could eat. The nurses in the NICU unit said she's eating like a horse. They'd give her a bottle and suck it right down. But the amazing thing is, as she continued to eat, guess what she continued to do? Grow. And the doctors were saying, she can't get out of NICU. She's going to be here for several weeks because her lungs weren't developed and she wasn't growing. And we were just concerned about it. Melissa, was it a week? She was out of the NICU unit in 1 week. Praise God. Now, she wasn't much bigger than my arm, but that girl could eat. And as she ate, she grew and she got stronger. And she developed into a beautiful young lady. And God's not done with her yet. Guess what? Just like you, God doesn't want you to stay as a preemie. He wants you to eat, and He wants you to grow, and He wants you to continue growing till what He got for you. He's not done with you yet. He loves you. He's not against you. And He has given you His word in the English language, and He says, read it. Trust me. Grow in me. I've got it all set up for you. I want to challenge you. Start eating. Well, Brother Brian, I'm on a diet. And I really don't want to eat a lot of food because I don't want to. I want you to eat and eat and eat and eat and eat of this right here. There's not just salad in here. There's meat. But there's dessert too. What's the dessert? Heaven. Heaven's for us. Can I show you one more passage? I'm going to anyway, so. Let me show you. Look at John chapter 4 real quick. John chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the fourth book of the New Testament. We see the problem that a lot of people are as babes. They're not growing in the Word. And we see the problem that comes along with this. And then we see the progression where you don't stay babes anymore. You start eating meat. Well, what happens when you start eating meat? Look at John chapter 4. Jesus tells us what happens when we start eating meat. John chapter 4, verse number 34. Here's what Jesus said. He's speaking to his disciples and they're having a conversation with him. Verse number 33, it says this. Therefore, said his disciples one to another, has any man brought him aught to eat? In other words, did anybody bring anything to eat with us? They're thinking physical food. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said unto them, verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus says, I'm not interested in the physical food, fellas. But when I start eating God's meat, I start to know what his will is for my life. And then he says this, to finish his work. The Bible tells us that every day Jesus would spend time with God alone. And he would devour what God spoke to him. Of course, this wasn't written yet. They had the Old Testament written. But he would feed on what God gave to him every day for this desire to know what God's will is. How many of you want to know what God's will for your life is? What does God expect from you? The answer is right here. You say, Brother Brian, that sounds pretty simplistic and it sounds pretty complicated. I don't know if I want all that. Well, let me help you out with something, okay? I'm going to give you three resources really quick to help you begin the new year in growing in God. All right, number one, here it is. Number one, ask God to show you what he wants you to do. Number one, write it down. Ask God to show you what he wants you to do. He's the author. He wrote it. He'll show you. One book in the Old Testament I want you to read. One book to begin with. The book of Proverbs. Matter of fact, open your Bible up to the book of Proverbs. Let me show you something here. Open to Proverbs. Let me show you something here. This is something even for those who've been saved for years and years and years, and you're growing in the Lord. This is something for you can apply. What is today's date? The 12th. All right? So open up to Proverbs 12. It's an amazing thing that there are 31 Proverbs. Each month of the year has at least 28 days. Some have 30, some have 31. You say, Brother Brian, what kind of reading plan should I start? Well, today is January the 12th, and there's the 12th proverb. You know, a good way to start growing is read one chapter of Proverbs that goes along with the date of the month. So you would read Proverbs chapter 12. You say, Brother Brian, there's a whole bunch in there. What do I do? Read a few verses. Start with that. Or read the 12th verse of the 12th chapter. Something. Tomorrow is what day, scholars? 13th. All right. Hey, you're going. So what chapter of Proverbs should you read? 13. Hey, I knew you'd catch on. Pray. Ask the author to help you. Number two, read a proverb a day. And number three, in the New Testament, the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The fourth book of the New Testament. Begin reading the book of John. Start in chapter number one and just read. You say, Brother Brian, I get bored reading. I read two verses, Brother Brian, and it's snoozeville for me. Well, guess what? As you begin reading, the Holy Spirit begins working in your life. Let me give you an example. You've heard this before, but I want to remind you. When I was a young airman, United States Air Force, didn't go to church, but maybe twice growing up in 21 years, I enjoy reading, and I've always loved reading. One day, I was sitting next to the base chaplain, and on the base chaplain's table was a stack of Bibles. I love to read, so I picked up a Bible. As a matter of fact, it's still sitting in my office, and I can show it to you. And I began to read the Bible like it was a novel. Started in the book of Genesis. Man, I love history. And Genesis and Exodus, and man, it was wonderful. I got into those stories thinking, wow, that is neat. Having no idea that it was true and having no idea about it, but I just read it because I loved it. But then I got to the book of Leviticus. And I got bogged down in all of those parts and places, and you shall do this and you shall do that, and everything else. And I'm thinking, oh no. And so what I did was I put a bookmark in that space, and I said, you know what, I'll put this away and I'll read it another time. I never picked it back up again for a while. But it's amazing. The Word of God was in my mind and in my body, and the Holy Spirit began to use that to teach me and to draw me to Him. Brothers and sisters, if you'll just read the Word of God, just read it, one verse. God, help me to understand it. And you read the verse, the Holy Spirit will make it real to you, and it began to seed and began to sprout. Now, springtime's coming. It feels like spring right now. But springtime's coming. And a lot of you are going to take little packages full of seeds. And you're going to open it up, and you're going to spread that seed in a row, and you're going to grow some whatever you like to grow. Just don't grow English peas. Those are nasty. Don't grow those things. But you're going to grow vegetables, and you're going to water it, and you're going to tend it. But in order for you to start growing, you got to open the package. You can't take the seed packet and wave it over the field and say, all right, grow. And get mad at the store because your plants aren't growing. You got to open the package and start planting them. You want to grow? You got to open the package. Does that make sense? Now, let me help you. There's this neat little thing called Sunday school. And we meet most Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. We even have coffee. And in some cases, we have desserts and breakfast foods. And guess what? It's open to everybody. You don't have to be a member of this church, but it starts at 10 o'clock, and we teach the Word of God. And we discuss the Word of God. We actually open it up. You say, Brother Brian, I have a hard time getting up at 10 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning. You get up for work, don't you? You get up for school, don't you? that's a good way to start growing. We had this neat little thing called Sunday evening service at 6 o'clock. Well, that's my family time. Well, good, okay, that's fine. Spend time with your family. It's not a problem. We had this neat little thing called Wednesday night Bible study and prayer. Right in here. We got a thing called Awanas for kids. We got a thing called youth group for teenagers. The opportunities are there. But do you want to grow? Or do you want to stay where you are right now? I can just see it. I've got that package of seeds and I'm just walking around shaking it. Why is it nothing growing? Got to open it first. You know what I would love to happen? Is that some of you get smarter than I am in the Bible. Some of you are already. But I'd love for some of you to get to the point where you're even more advanced in your walk with the Lord than I am. Because then guess what? Now, lay a pinch. Wait a minute. Because then guess what happens? Then you get to start teaching people too. You get to share God's word with people. And they get to start to grow. What a wonderful concept. Well, Brother Brian, it's you and Tanner's job. It's your and Tanner's job to teach us what we need to know. And that's it. No. We're to teach you. And then you're to turn around and teach others. What a wonderful pyramid scheme. And it's legal too. Now, I know that this is basic stuff for some of you. And maybe some of you thought this is snoozeville. But let me tell you this. This is the living word. God has given it to us in the English language. He's given us teachers to help us to understand. I've not been where I am right now. I've grown because I had men and women to take the time to teach me what it says. I wasn't born with all this Bible knowledge. I know it's hard to believe. I had to have people teach me. Guess what my job is? To teach you. And then you turn around and teach somebody else. What a wonderful concept. Who came up with that concept? Daddy. Abba Father. The Creator. God Almighty. So let me challenge you this morning. Choose 2020 to be the year that you grow like you've never grown before. Now, one more thing. Look at me just for a second, please. Just for a second, we'll be done. I promise you. Some of you don't really know God as your Savior. You've played the game, or maybe you're here and the very first time you've come. And you wondered, can God really forgive me of all my sins? Can God really expect me to get closer to Him? Because, yes, He loves you. And He died to pay for all your sins. He doesn't expect you to know everything, but He says, trust me as your Savior, and I'll begin working in you too. Folks, God loves you. Let's grow in Him this year. How about it? How about it this morning? If you don't know Christ your Savior, today's the day. Come on, we'll show you from the Bible. Number two, if it's time to join the church, some of you need to start joining the church, start getting active. Number three, you want to rededicate your life. Come on, rededicate your life. Or number four, maybe you just want to pray. Whatever the need is, I'm asking you to respond to what God's doing in your heart right now. We love you. God loves you. It's time to make a change and start growing in Him today. Let's all stand together this morning. Whatever the need is this morning, whatever God has spoken to your heart about this morning, He's not done with you yet. He's not done with you yet. Look at me for a second before we pray. How many of you are familiar with that song, "He's Still Working on Me"? I don't know, Miss Shirley, if you could find that song or not. That's okay. Don't worry about it. He's still working on you. He's not done. Let him work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your kindness and your mercy and your grace. Lord, thank you that you're not done with us yet. And thank you for using this young man. Thank you for using me in spite of me. Oh God, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me, God, for not being what you want me to be. But Father, I want this new year coming up. I want to grow in you closer than I've ever been before. And I pray for these precious folks here this morning. For those who don't know Christ as their Savior, may today they come to you, be forgiven, and walk with you as you so desperately want them to. I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ who aren't growing like they ought to. May today be that day that they determine enough's enough and to start growing. And may you encourage brothers and sisters who are growing. May they continue to get stronger in you. God, please help us. You're the only hope we have. For it's in the precious name of Jesus I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Whatever the need is this morning, I invite you to come. I invite you to come. Miss Shirley's going to play. I invite you to come now. Just step right out. Whatever we can do to help you, we'll be glad to do. Miss Shirley's begin to play.